Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Book of Revelation, chapter 8. Revelation 8, beginning at verse 6, and the seven angels, the ones having the seven trumpets or shofars, prepared themselves in order that they might sound. And the first angel sounded or trumpeted, and there came hail and fire, having been mixed with blood, and it was thrown onto the earth. And the third of the trees were burned down, and all the grass was burned down. Some texts say that the earth was burned. The Textus Receptus mentions the trees and the grass. And the second angel sounded, and as a great mountain burning with fire, it was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which are in the sea, the ones having life, died. And a third of the ships were thoroughly destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from out of heaven, burning as a lamp. And it fell upon the third of the rivers, and upon the third, fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Opsenthos. The word worm is the word for wormwood. And a third of the waters became or turned into Opsenthos, wormwood. And many people died from the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars were struck, in order that a third of them might become darkened. And the day, a third of it, that it should not shine or appear, and the night likewise. And I saw, and I heard, one angel, some texts say eagle, one angel flying in mid-heaven, saying with a great voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the ones dwelling upon the earth, from out of the rest of the sounds of the trumpet or shofar of the three angels who are about to sound." We're attempting to finish out the chapter. Remember when we started this chapter in verse 1, we saw the pause in heaven. All of the angels had gathered around the throne with the 24 elders and the four living creatures. All were around the throne praising God. But when the seventh seal was broken, everything and everyone in heaven stopped. Dead silence for about 30 minutes. In anticipation of that which is to come, knowing that this breaking of the seventh seal opens up the final phase of God's judgment. Then we saw in verse 2 the provision for the seven angels, that there are seven angels who had been standing before God. And they were given, it was provided for them, they were given seven shofars or trumpets. Then in verses 3 to 5, we saw the prayers of the saints. We saw that there was an angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and it was given to him much incense in order that he might give or mix it with the prayers of all the saints, that he might do it upon the golden altar which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense rose up with the prayers of the saints from out of the hand of the angel before God. And the angel had taken the censer and filled it from out of the fire of the temple or the altar and threw it into the earth. And when he did this, there came voices or sounds and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake. We saw in that last phrase, whenever there were voices, thunders, lightnings, it is mentioned four times in the book of Revelation, and whenever it's mentioned, it introduces coming judgment. Chapter 4, verse 5. Here in chapter 8, verse 5, chapter 11, verse 19, chapter 16, verse 18. So we've seen the pause in heaven. We've seen the provision for the seven angels as they were provided with seven shofar ram's horns. And we've seen the prayers of the saints when the saints prayed, Lord, let your will be done upon the earth as it is in heaven. As the saints from under the altar in chapter 6, at the breaking of the fifth seal, they said, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood from the ones who are dwelling on the earth? And all of that now is becoming answered as these judgments are about to come. In verse 6, we have the preparation of the seven angels. And the seven angels, the ones having the seven trumpets or shofars, shofarot, prepared in order that they might sound. So now they're ready. They were given the seven horns. They had to wait for the prayers of the saints in symbolic form of the incense that rose up to be answered. And that answer came when the angel filled the censer with coals from the fire of the altar and threw them onto the earth. So now we have, beginning at verse 7, we have the four trumpet, what are called the four trumpet or shofar judgments in verses 7 through 13. The first three horn blasts deal, first of all, with land, second of all, with the sea, third of all, with the rivers, and fourthly, with the heavens, judgment coming to them. And you'll notice that as we read through, one-third of the land, one-third of the sea, one-third of the rivers, and a part of heaven, third of it, was struck by this judgment. And that indicates to us that a one-third judgment of everything was a designed plan, and it was a preliminary to the judgments yet to come. And it is interesting how that I said the first trumpet actually had to do with land. Well, the first bowl judgment that we're going to see later also has to do with the rest of the land. So it's like the bowl judgments finish up what these trumpet or shofar judgments are announcing. So one-third judgment. So now we're in verse 7. The first angel has blown the shofar or the trumpet, and hail and fire having been mixed in blood became and was thrown onto the earth. We take that literally because it has no figurative speech to it, that it was when the angel in verse 5, as he filled the censer and threw it, the coals onto the earth, it fell down as hail and fire, which had been mixed in blood, literal blood. This was in fulfillment of prophecy in Joel chapter 2, verse 30. That's Joel chapter 2, verse 30, where he describes the day of the Lord as being a judgment of hail, fire, and blood. Literal blood was thrown onto the earth. And here are the consequences of that. And a third of the trees were burned down. And all the green grass was burned down. So a third, and then all of the green grass. This first judgment, what we call the trumpet or shofar judgment, it parallels the first plague that was brought upon Egypt in the book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 25, where the vegetation was struck. It's interesting that it parallels the plagues that were brought upon Egypt, and it parallels the seven bowl judgments that are about to come. The bowl judgments will also poured out and judged upon the earth, upon the same areas, physical areas of creation that we see here in these trumpet or shofar judgments. Secondly, verses 8 and 9, this is the second angel. He blows the shofar. And as a great mountain burning with fire, it was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures which are in the sea, the ones having life, they died, and a third of the ships were thoroughly destroyed. The second trumpet or shofar judgment, verses 8 and 9. The first was on the land, and now it is on the sea. And it is interesting that when the angel blew the shofar, that this huge thing, notice, as a mountain. Now we have figurative language. Didn't say it was a mountain. It says like a mountain. If you were to look at it, it would look like a mountain, a great mountain. And it was on fire. And it was thrown into the sea. Like I say, it doesn't say it was a mountain. It's using figurative speech. But as a mountain, it was thrown, surrounded by flaming gases as it was coming down onto the earth. Some think that this is a giant asteroid or meteor, this mountain-like object that has burning all around with gases. It was thrown into the sea. Second thing I want to point out to you, that the word for sea is singular. And secondly, it has the definite article. And many scholars believe that he's talking about the sea, which happens to be the Mediterranean Sea, because of the article and the singular. Others hold that it was over all of the seas that are described as one. And a third of the sea became blood. This again parallels the plague of how that the waters of the Nile were turned into blood in the book of Exodus, chapter 7, verses 20 and 21. And because this great fireball, whether it be an asteroid or a meteor, falls into the ocean, a third of the creatures which are in the sea, the ones having life, they died. And a third of the ships were thoroughly destroyed. They say at any one given time, on the surface of the seas, there are 30,000 ships. So we're looking at approximately 10,000 ships or boats thoroughly destroyed. And the Greek is very emphatic when it says thoroughly destroyed, wiped out, annihilated. Verses 10 and 11, the third angel sounds, and a great star fell out of heaven, burning as a lamp. And it fell upon the third of the rivers and upon a third of the fountains or springs of waters. And the name of the star is called Opsenthos, which means wormwood. And a third of the waters became or turned into Opsenthos. And many people died from out of the waters because the waters were made bitter. So the third trumpet or shofar sounds, and judgment comes out upon the rivers. First thing, notice that it was a great star. Austere is the Greek word. It in and of itself, as a Greek word, can refer to any celestial body except for the moon and the sun. Any celestial body except for the moon and the sun. Therefore, it could be a meteor, could be a comet. Because it says that it was burning as a lamp. That is, it had the afterburn. It had a fiery trail to it as it went. And that's why the comet and meteor are the best suited for this. The afterburn was burning behind it like a torch. Also, the word for lamp, burning as a lamp, lampos in Greek, was used in ancient times to describe meteors and comets. Look like it had a little lamp behind it, lampos. And so, interesting that it's burning as a lamp. Didn't use the word fire, but he used the word that the ancients used to describe meteors and comets. Next, fifthly, this fell, this great star, this comet, this meteor, as it's falling down, it falls upon a third of the rivers and the fountains and springs of waters. So the rivers and streams are going to have toxin and poison running in them. These are the drinking waters, specifically focusing on the drinking waters from the rivers and the fountains and springs of waters, that they will have in it poison running in it. Sixthly, this judgment parallels the polluting of the Egyptians' drinking water in Exodus chapter 7, verses 21 and 24. They also had their drinking water polluted. And seventhly, this Opsenthos, this wormwood, as it's called, it's actually a shrub. And you can find it over in Palestine and around the Jerusalem area. And its leaves, actually, when they're used, to make absinthe. And it is a toxic. It is poison. Eight times it's mentioned in the Old Testament. Absinthos, from this shrub that's a toxic potion. And it's always associated, and it's eight times in the Old Testament, with death and judgment and bitterness of water, to the point that if people drank it, they would die. Jeremiah, both Jeremiah and Ezekiel mentioned this. Jeremiah mentions the fact that Israel will drink out of the Opsenthos, out of the bitter waters. But Ezekiel, he prophesies and said that the bitter waters of the Jews would be healed and be restored. So a third, it is called Opsenthos, and a third of the waters became or turned into Opsenthos, wormwood. And many of the people died from out of the waters because the waters were made bitter. Verse 12, the fourth angel. And the fourth angel sounds. And a third of the sun and a third of the moon and a third of the stars were struck. The word for struck is plague, where we get our word plague from. So a third of the sun and of the moon and a third of the stars were struck, plagued by God in order that a third of them would become dark. And a third of the day should not shine. And the night likewise. Third of everything. It is a plague. In this judgment, it is a judgment on the heavens. That is the atmosphere. It parallels the Egyptian plague in Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. Here it appears to be temporary because after the plague, later on in the books, we will see that God is dealing with a complete restored heaven from this plague. But a third of it happens in order that darkness, a third of everything that is light, the sun and the moon, would turn one-third darkness. Again, these are preempting and as a preamble to the more severe judgments that are going to take place. If not, these were enough. And it's kind of interesting that later on we're going to find out that the people who suffered these particular judgments and plagues, that after the thousand-year reign of Christ and Satan is let loose, they go back to serving Satan again. None of these judgments change anyone's heart who are going to reject Christ, and they reject him. But also, this particular judgment was prophesied by the Old Testament prophets very thoroughly in the prophecies concerning the day of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 through 10, it tells about the moon and the sun and the stars being struck by God. Ezekiel chapter 32, verses 7 and 8. Joel chapter 2, verse 10. And Joel chapter 2, verse 31. Also Joel chapter 3, verse 15. Amos chapter 8, verse 9. And even Jesus himself, in making reference back to these prophecies and looking towards this day when these judgments would happen, in recorded in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, which is parallel to Mark 13:24. It's all lined up for us in the scriptures about this coming plague where the sun, the moon, and the stars, a third of them. And basically what this does is it brings the temperatures down here on the earth. A sun of the moon, a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars are covered. The light is covered. And temperatures begin to drop. And people begin to feel the judgments here on the earth. Then lastly, in verse 13, John says, "And I saw and heard one angel." Or, as some texts say, one eagle. It's aetos, the alternate word to the word angelos for angel. Aetos actually is the word for both an eagle and a vulture. So whatever context the word is found in, if indeed it is the only word available for us to translate from, it has to, whether it's an eagle or a vulture, that's used in translation with the context. About what the events are all about. This is an angel or a messenger who is flying, present participle, continuously, in mid-heaven. And this messenger who is flying in mid-heaven is saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the ones dwelling upon the earth. Woe to them from out of the remaining sounds of the trumpet or shofar of the three angels which are about to sound." What he's saying is there have been four judgments, trumpet or shofar judgments so far. Shofar. Shofar so far. And I just caught it myself. And this messenger, this angel, this flying creature, is in mid-heaven, and he's saying, "Woe, woe, woe." One woe for each of the next three trumpet judgments. And what he's saying is these first four are just an introduction. These are just a preamble for the next three trumpet judgments, which are more severe than the first four. So there's like a pause right here where this flying creature is in mid-heaven, and he's continually saying with a great voice, woe, woe, woe. One woe for each of the next three trumpet judgments. The word woe, ouai, in Greek, actually means destruction from judgment. Destruction because of or from judgment. And so this flying angel or creature is in the heaven, mid-heaven, and he's saying, destruction, destruction, destruction to those who are dwelling upon the earth. It's not something you want to hear on your drive home from work. But it is actually a pronouncement of the severity which is about to take place. Now, I want to point out to you also this phrase, to the ones who are dwelling upon the earth. If you remember, a few weeks ago, I mentioned to you that there is actually an official phrase that is used to describe people who are so committed and so patriotic to the things of the earth that they are called in the Bible earth dwellers. And that's what this word means. To the earth dwellers. And we see it seven times in the book of Revelation that this title is used for a particular group of people who are so committed and dedicated to the world and to this earth that the more severe the judgments, the more dedicated they are to the system of the world. They were mentioned back in chapter 3, verse 10. They mentioned in chapter 6, verse 10. Chapter 11, verse 10. Chapter 13, verse 8. Chapter 13, verse 14. Chapter 14, verse 6. Chapter 17, verse 8. A title for people who are earth dwellers. Remember back in chapter 6, the people who were under the altar, they were saying, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood from the people who are dwelling upon the earth. They're earth dwellers. The earth dwellers killed us. How long are you going to wait until you bring judgment and take vengeance on these people? A Christian or child of God is never referred to as an earth dweller in the Bible. And the characteristic of earth dwellers, as I said, are people who are so dedicated to the world and the earth system that the more severe the judgments, the more dedicated they are to the world. They don't repent. I heard someone say one day, by the time we get to this, if they still have Earth Day like they do every year, not going to be a happy time for Earth Day during this time. People are going to have a rough time when they get together to celebrate the earth and how we can take care of it. And that kind of struck me too. I'm all in favor of not polluting the world in which we live. But the best we can do is put a Band-Aid on our ecology. That's the best we can do. This world is heading for destruction. It can't be saved until it's burned up and a new one brought in. So, woe, woe, woe to the earth, to the ones dwelling upon the earth dwellers. From out of the remaining sounds of the trumpet, or shofar, of the three angels which are about to sound. So the last three judgments are worse than the first four. It is interesting, I think, in 2 Peter, we'll get to Peter's second letter, the first hour in a few weeks. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter says, God will destroy the present heavens and earth. Destroy it. And will replace it with a new heaven and a new earth that we're told about in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. So this earth must be destroyed. Peter in 2 Peter 3 says it's going to be totally destroyed. burned up, but that there would be a new heaven and a new earth coming. So it's not that God is taking his creation and destroying something perfect and good. This creation has to be destroyed. It has been influenced and affected by sin. Paul said that in Romans chapter 8, that all of creation has been affected by sin. Even creation itself is groaning and waiting for the appearance and the redemption of the children of God. You know, when's this going to be over? You know, the creation is acting like a dying man who's been kept alive. And he says, just unplug the machine, will you? You know, because of the effects of sin, and of course, through man upon the earth. So it is interesting, as we put these two studies together from the first hour and from the second hour, we understand how important it is to not be too attached nor put that much value on earthly things. This world system and the creation in it is under the judgment of God. When God unleashes his judgment, it'll be upon those things and even people that we might have been attached to and looked upon and approached as very valuable. We must live life knowing that this is temporary. Whatever we put our time and attention in the physical realm, realize it's into something that's temporary, not eternal. And so, in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is talking about the separation from the things of this life as God begins to deal with us and separate us for his purposes, so that we, in our heart and in our spirit, can celebrate with joy our salvation. Sometimes I look at myself analytically and think, I'm saved, and act like I'm doomed for hell just because something in this earthly life didn't work out for me, you know? And yet Peter says to be continually celebrating with joy, with satisfaction. We can even, as James says, and Peter's going to say it for us next week, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He says, find contentment in it, satisfaction. We're being changed. We're being transformed. God is proving that we belong to him by disciplining us and changing us and transforming us. But not only is he separating us from the world to bring us to himself, but he's separating us from that which is temporary and will be destroyed with a tremendous catastrophe of judgments that are being brought upon the earth. Close with prayer. Lord, thank you for reminding us. We thank you for teaching us. We thank you for showing us the important and valuable things and thing in life. Only those things that are eternal, that belong to Christ, even the people who belong to Christ, are precious. We pray, Lord, that you'd work in our hearts and minds, and as we begin to become addicted to, obsessed with, or we find someone or something that's more valuable to us than they should be in our priority structure, we pray that you would deal with us, that you would discipline us, to keep us from out of the realm that is temporary and under judgment and will be destroyed, to those things that are of Christ and that are eternal. Pray that as we continue to meet together around your word, that you would continue to teach us and separate us for Christ, for his purposes, for his glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.